attitude. Jesus has this upside down, sideways, backwardness. Jesus looks at things so completely differently than conventional wisdom says that he ought to have looked at it. In the Sermon on the Mount, and the Matthew readings that we've been doing a couple weeks ago and today come from the Sermon on the Mount, and specifically today's reading, Jesus took common knowledge of the day, and he asked people to just look at it differently. He took some accepted practices that were not evil practices, they were just accepted, and he took the unbreakable rules and asked folks to consider that causing harm while following those practices and those rules went contrary to any of the practices and rules as they were intended. You know, this reading has great, we'll call it verse nuggets. You know, give to everyone who begs from you and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Lots of verse nuggets, things that you can put on a bumper sticker, things that you can put on your refrigerator, paint it on your forehead, post it on Facebook. But you know, the whole Sermon on the Mount, and especially this part of the reading, it isn't necessarily about those verse nuggets. It's about the attitude. Jesus was trying to do an attitude adjustment or give people the opportunity for an attitude adjustment. He was saying, notice people. They matter. Treat people as if they matter. Be generous and kind even when you don't feel like it. And if you can't do that, try standing on your head. You might get halfway there. See, when you're standing on your head, everything looks different. It may be because you're turned upside down. Maybe because you're doing something your body says, no, I'm not doing that anymore. Even if it does create a wrinkle-free environment, not doing it anymore. That may be because you feel silly doing something like that. Have you done anything silly in the last 24 hours? Anyone? Really silly. Who did something silly? Way back there. What, Max, what did you do? You slipped on the ice. So you felt silly when that happened. Did you try to do something? You know, just silly for silly's sake. Oh, you were trying to. Okay, got it. Yes, Abby? You stood on your head partially. Partially, yeah. Let's make sure that we say partially stood. Jesus said some funny things that we always take seriously in the Bible. He also asked people to get a different perspective. But I am sure that Jesus liked the silly. Yes? Your brain's already flipping it. So if you put it right side up, then your brain's getting it right side up or something. So your brain already is good at switching perspective because that's what it does naturally. I love that. Huh. Can you imagine Jesus doing other things that shift perspective? Like, put the net on the other side of the boat. Maybe there's more fish there. I know. You never fish that side. Or he was asleep in a boat and there was a storm and the disciples were scared and he woke up and he said, be quiet. And the storm stopped. That's a change in perspective. All right, none of us can do that. Sure change the disciples' perspective. When we stand on our head, when we do something silly, when we try to that, switch the perspective in our brain, it gives us enough time to stop taking ourselves so seriously. And to realize that there is more to life than all the rules. Better to live than to try to be evil. But Kirk, I don't understand what you're saying. The standing on your head thing, it doesn't give me a clearer picture of what I should do to follow God. Being silly doesn't give me a better picture of what I should do to follow God. Getting a different perspective, I don't think that gives me a better view of how to follow God. I've always looked at it this way. Can you give me another idea? Okay, there are more. Do something that will have you experience the world in a different way, like cross your eyes. Ready, try that now. They will not stay that way, I promise. Ready, here we go. Ooh. Don't do that while you're standing. Or you can, but it's... Jump up and down for a minute. Anyone want to jump up and down for a minute? Go ahead, Will. Jump up and down for a minute. Or at least like 12 seconds there. Anyone else want to jump up and down for a minute? There, Jan, anyone? Everyone's like, no, we sit during church. We do stands and everything, but jumping up and down. Ow. Thank you. Read a book upside down. Sing at the top of your lungs, whether you can sing or not. Raise the roof? Is that what you're doing? Oh, you said no, don't sing at the... Why not sing at the top of your lungs? Listen to music backwards. It does not reveal a satanic message in the music. Pet a dog. Pet a cat. Well, that's going outside of bounds, right? Establish a Facebook page. Quit your Facebook. Watch more TV. Turn off the TV. Read a book. Read a magazine. Read a comic book. Read a graphic novel. That's really just a comic book, only with a different name to make it sound more highfalutin. Listen to classical music. Listen to hip-hop. Turn off all the music. Sing during church. Maybe not at the top of your lungs, but sing during church. Or don't sing during church. Experience the music like this. Sit in a different pew. I know, I've gone too far, haven't I? Yes, look at the Driggers are sitting in a different pew. Who's sitting in a different pew than usual today? Ooh, look at that. That's awesome. I am not sitting in a different pew, so next week I'll sit in a different pew, I promise. Jan is preaching next week, so I'm going to sit in a different place. Let's try it next week. Everyone sit in a different pew. Look where you are right now. There is a butt print right there that can be somebody else's. Make sure the pew is in this church? Okay. Well, if you're on vacation, sit in a different pew somewhere else. Get a different perspective on the world. If you're always kind, be kinder. If you're usually grumpy, be kinder. The rain falls on your friends and your enemies. Have you heard that today already? The sun shines on your friends and your enemies. Prosperity comes to your friends and your enemies. Poverty comes to your friends and your enemies. Your friends and your enemies have reasons to celebrate. Your friends and your enemies suffer tragedies. And there is no one among your friends or your enemies whom God does not love. No one. There's a list in this morning's Bible reading and some of the verses before it that descriptions of people, because Jesus was describing people in the Sermon on the Mount. No matter what you think of the folks described, good or bad, and Jesus doesn't try to say, this has to be good, this has to be bad, but it's pretty evident when he talks. But everyone on the list are important. Everyone are the ones whom God loves. So there are evildoers, those who sue you, people in power over you, neighbors, enemies, the righteous, the unrighteous, brothers and sisters, others, Gentiles, murderers, those who are angry, adulterers, those who lust, those who have been divorced, liars, truth tellers. And you can add any person, any group to the list. And the result still remains the same. Everyone matters. Everyone. And then there's the last line in this morning's reading. And well, you didn't read the last line in there, which is okay. It gave me the opportunity to say that and to say, here's the last line from the reading today. It says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Jesus got through just talking about different perspective and do all of these things. And he said, oh, by the way, be perfect. I can't do that. Not with all the encouragement in the world. Not even if I'm getting a new perspective. Not if I'm standing on my head. No way, no how. And God knows that. It's why we have to look at the list that I just read off and the list of other things that come into your mind and remember that nobody is perfect. No matter how hard any one of us try, perfection is not possible. It's impossible for you. It's impossible for me. It's impossible for everyone else. But maybe there's a loophole. Loopholes are fun. We always love loopholes, right? Well, I don't know if it's a loophole or not. Dr. Kelly Flanagan is a psychologist, and he's taken to write a series of letters to his young daughter, and then he posts them online. And there's a viral post from just a few weeks ago. It's a letter to his young daughter describing what society is trying to sell as beauty, and then describing beauty outside of the social norms. Well, I don't need to go into that part. There's another sermon in that. There's another sermon about societal definitions of what is this and what is that. But there's one part in Dr. Flanagan's letter to his daughter, this one, that talks about perfection. And here's what he said. Infallible. May you be constantly, infallibly aware that infallibility doesn't exist. It's an illusion created by people interested in your wallet. If you choose to seek perfection, may it be in an infallible grace. For yourself and for everyone around you. Infallible grace. That's something I can get behind. That's something that demands a shift in perspective. That's something that Jesus would love and does love. So infallible grace, let's have more of that. God gives it freely. So why won't we? My brothers and sisters, may grace, infallible grace, abound for all. For those who experience the sun and the rain. Amen.